His word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. Living the good life from our Hebrews scripture this morning. Yeah, that's the theme of my message today is not only did Jesus Christ save us for eternal life as a free gift, but he also wants us to have a good life right here and right now. He desires to give it to us. As it turns out, the good life is a pathway. And we're already on that pathway if you have faith in Jesus. You're on that pathway that leads, it's a narrow pathway, but it leads to heaven. And that pathway has a bridge, and that's your death when you'll cross over. But we're already on the road if you have faith in Jesus. But he has set all kinds of markers along the way so that we know which way to go and which way to avoid, so we don't get off the road, off the ramp, or some ramp that would lead us off. It's a pathway pioneered by Jesus Christ himself. He made it for us to walk in. Now, you might ask, what is the good life? Many claim to be living the good life right now. Don't you know people who would say to you, I'm living the good life, right? They smile, right? But there's some people that are saying they live the good life. They don't acknowledge the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. They're not worshiping the true God. So are they really living the good life? I'm reminded of a man back in Alabama, my days there at that church, who I instructed in the Christian faith. I actually went to his home to do this. It was because of the circumstances. And he was a blessed man. He had a wonderful wife. He had a boy and a girl, beautiful children. And much later on, he hit it big in business. He was raking in the money, you know, really raking in the money. Extraordinary. I didn't have too many people like that in Alabama, right? By that time, I was transitioning to come to Tennessee. Then surprisingly, I heard he was divorcing his wife and moved to the Virgin Islands. He wanted a younger woman in his life, right? A much younger woman. Well, I came back to Alabama to officiate at his daughter's wedding. Now, you talk about awkward moments. This was an awkward moment, right? Because there was this man with a big smile on his face. He was living the good life, in contrast to his now more somber ex-wife. So was he living the good life? You see, the culture of the world has a different definition, a different chart, different pathway for the good life, of what it calls a good life. This man really wasn't living the good life. But let me explain. Frankly, we're all creatures of this culture and this world that is opposed to God. It values anti-God values, though until we cross over, and the real word is until we're carried over to the other side, we don't even recognize it. We don't recognize it. We're so enculturated, we're so habituated, we're so thoroughly immersed that it took a divine act for us to be brought onto the right path. And only then are our eyes open and we say, oh my goodness, this is the good life. And the Bible puts it this way. We are in the world, but we're not of it. Oh, we don't act like we're not in the world. We're in the world. And there are good things in the world, but we're not of it. We're not of this world. We're set free. And we're not going the wrong way. We're going the right way. We're going on God's narrow path, which is the good life. The good life, as the world defines it, does not turn out very good. Therein lies the trap. It can appear that we're living the good life for so long, but it can't possibly be good because it's steering us away from God. It's propelling us away from the kingdom, from Jesus Christ. And it ends up badly, terribly. So if you look at the whole life, if it ends up terribly, is it a good life? No. That man from Alabama, whom I love, who I poured my life into him, right? He went on a wrong pathway. He thinks he's living the good life, but you know what? If he doesn't repent, he's going to come to the end, and the worst of all fates, I'm telling you, the worst of all fates, hell is filled with this. It's called regret. Hell is nothing but eternal regret, besides some fire, right? Eternal regret. Now, I pray for this man, and I don't know, maybe he's already turned back because he truly understood the Word of God, but I think he walked away from it. Let's look at the markers for the pathway of the good life that are set down in our scripture for today. They're also called exhortations. Go this way. Don't go that way, right? That's an exhortation. Following the path, it means joy and a lasting and ultimate satisfaction. Marker number one, keep on loving each other as brothers. Be ready to show hospitality. This is marker number one. This path could be labeled the love road because everything about the path of the good life is about love. Loving each other, loving a God who's loved us first, right? This is the pathway. Putting the needs ahead of our own. The world not for that, but this is the way of Christ. Love for God, love for others. Right? The world says, look out for number one. It tells us to be suspicious of others, never be taken advantage of. Hospitality is okay, but don't give too much. You always got to come out ahead, right? That's what the world says. It's not the Christian way, not the joyous way. By the way, the angels mentioned here, it refers to the angels. Abraham didn't know they were angels that came to him, and it was kind of a test, you know. And the angels came to Abraham to tell him that at the age of 100, he was going to have a child. Now, he had a heart attack, and that was it, right? No, that's what I would have done, you know. You're going to have a child at 100? Okay, right. But he passed the test. God's always testing us to see if we love others and love him. You know what he does? I really believe this. He sprinkles in every church irritating people. Really irritating people. Now raise your hand if you're one of them. And what he's doing is he's testing you. He's testing you to see if you can love these extremely irritating people. And believe me, as a pastor, I give thanks for a lady in Alabama who was extremely irritating to me, right? And she pushed me to love her. I didn't say the tests that God gives us are easy sometimes. Sometimes they are very, very, very hard. But he wants us to love. He wants us to be hospitable. This is the marker of the good life. So I'm coming over to your house. Be hospitable to me. Right? And if I come to your house, you may be one of those irritating people. I'll love you. Number two marker. Remember those in prison. They may deserve to be there, but they are people for whom Jesus died. And we can't forget them. The world says in many ways, forget them, lock them up, throw away the key. That's what the world says. Listen, I've been to prison. No, I wasn't sent there. I visited a prison. I've been to a major penitentiary, and I've been to one here in Clinton that lock up some of my experiences there. I'll tell you this about prison. We do not do good with prisoners. We do not treat them well. We do not try to restore them. Something's really wrong with our prisons, right? Really wrong. There are a lot of good people in prison. There are a lot of people, and all of them Jesus died for. And we cannot forget them. Prison actually turns out to be a time when people come awake spiritually. They are not just coming to the Lord to get out and get a lighter sentence or whatever. No, they really are having an actual, authentic, spiritual experience there. And we ought to be a part of that. And if you know anybody in prison, start writing them. Start sending notes to them, encouraging them to find the Lord. All right? The third marker along this way, go this way. We are to respect marriage and obey God's commands about our sexuality. To sin, as most of us do in some way or another in this area, by committing adultery or ignoring God's commands, forbidding all forms of sexual perversion and homosexual behavior, is taking you away from the good life. This is not my opinion. This is God's word. This is what we stand on. There are many saying, oh, this is all right, or that's all right. They are giving you exits off the good path. And you have to hear that. And God says clearly in the word today, he will judge those who sin in this way and who do not repent, and they'll face his wrath. Several years ago, I read this, more than several years ago, a long time ago, I read this about a man who wrote an advice columnist, right? And he wrote this, I'm having an affair with two women. I can't marry both of them. What should I do? And don't give me any of that morality crap. Excuse me. But that's what he said. The columnist answered him, what distinguishes us from animals is morality. Please write a veterinarian for advice. Yeah. A godly marriage, and you don't have to be married to be right with the Lord, by the way, but a godly marriage can be a wonderful gift from God and bring a lot of joy. But I didn't say it was easy. I didn't say it was easy. In fact, God gives you a spouse to help refine you, to improve your love. If the test first comes, can I love this spouse of mine who God has given you a spouse with some irritating qualities? Everybody is like that. No man and woman is completely compatible. Come on, anybody here have that perfect marriage? Okay. You're in church, Glenn. You're in church. Whatever points you hope to gain there, they're lost. No. So as we love one another, we're growing in the Lord and faith in him, and we're on that pathway. That's wonderful. The fourth marker, don't be greedy or love money. Instead, be content and grateful for what God gives you. Whatever you have, you've been given. You know, when people want to argue with me, I worked hard, I went to school, I sacrificed, all these other people, you know, they messed around and all that sort of thing. And yes, I'm going to hold on to what I got because I did it. Yeah. You know what my refrain is? You've heard it so many times from me. Did you choose where you were going to be born? I mean, wasn't it supposed to be Bangladesh, right? Or Uganda or someplace like that? No, you didn't get to choose where you were born. What you have you been given? Did you get to choose what gifts God gave you? I have an older brother who can speak 5, 6, 7 languages. You know, he has that as a gift. I didn't get that one, right? I have a sister who can play the piano. It's useless trying to teach me piano, right? Right? It's useless. But I have other gifts, and they have gifts, and you have gifts, and whatever we have, we've been given. Let's recognize it and be grateful to the Lord for what he has given us. and he is very generous to us. The world says, I just want to say, love of money is one of the great traps to get you off the pathway. It's a ramp, this love of money, that leads to a dead end. As Paul says in 1 Timothy, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. You can exchange the word root for pathway. It's the pathway to all kinds of evil. The world says, get yours no matter how. But our eyes are open. Thank you, Jesus. Our eyes are open. We see that life does not consist of the abundance of our possessions or how much money we have. That's not how we should judge ourselves. I remember a man coming to our church, and he was speaking at a church, and he said this. Maybe some of you remember. It's been a long time ago. He said, publicly, I've been rich and I've been poor, and being rich is better. Well, I actually went up to him and I said, actually, for countless people, that's not true. Not if it leads them away from God. They became rich, and just like my friend from Alabama, the love of money can slyly and subtly twist your whole thinking, derail you from the good life and from your faith and trust in Jesus. You can't serve God and money at the same time. Who said that? Jesus. Jesus said it. Fifth marker is God has placed leaders to encourage you and stay on the right path and be living the good life. Now, throughout the Word of God, we see him providing leaders, true ones, good ones, not perfect ones, prophets, apostles, and things like that, pastors, that encourage and lead people on the right pathway, right? So humbly, I want to say to you, I'm your pastor. I'm your shepherd. I'm your leader. Again, humbly, you do well to listen to me and to my exhortations. It's not just my personality you should think about. It's the call that I have. And the call I have is to lead. At Grace, we have lifted up elders who are leaders, encouragers, and along with me, sometimes we have to admonish and correct you, people in our charge. We don't do this because we don't like you. We do it because we love you. We want you to stay on the pathway, right? And the world, on the other hand, would have you suspect all authority and be cynical about it, to rebel against it. People like this are sure that all leaders, pastors, elders, are all just big hypocrites, right? These people don't think they need any guidance at all and often resent their God-given leaders. I've had members of my church resent me for my authority when I spoke to them. And you know, it hurts. It hurts me too. But if I'm going to do God's will, I'm going to speak to them about things that I think are taking them off the pathway. Currently, I'm looking around. There's none of you, right? But it will. It can happen. It can happen. This is the pathway God wants us to be on. He's put people to care about you. That's why I strive so hard to learn your names and pray for you, because I have a charge to keep. And the new pastor will have that too. He has a charge to keep, to shepherd the flock. The sixth marker is a series of warning signs all along the path telling you to watch out for strange teachings, for false teaching, for cults and false doctrine. Who could fall for the destructive teachings of Scientology? And yet there are people who do fall for that. Smart people. Very destructive. Extremely destructive. Or the oppressive and legalistic teachings of the Jehovah's Witnesses. A completely made-up religion. Right? Completely made up. And oppressive to boot. Or how about the sophisticated deception of the Mormon church, Church of the Latter-day Saints. They worship a different Jesus, not the same Jesus, not at all. All those lead you away from Jesus, away from the path that ultimately leads to the truly good life. God forbid you get entrapped by these teachings that purport to have an inner insight into what God's word means or how you should go. Paul put it very forcefully in Galatians. He said, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than the one you accepted from me, let him be eternally condemned. Now that says a word to pastors. If we're speaking a gospel that is wrong or has directed because of our own personal beliefs or something like that, not based on this, I tremble to think that I would get up and lead people astray. I tremble at that. The seventh marker and final marker that I want to speak about today is Jesus himself, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So many speak of God, but they don't mention Jesus. I remember when we used to pray before football games, high school football games. I remember one, I was going to do it at this one place, and they said, now, let's just pray to God. Let's leave Jesus out of it. You know? I'm telling you what. Allah is not God. All those Indian gods are not gods because they do not recognize Jesus. Jesus. Right? So we're not talking about a generic God when we're following the right path. We're following Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, the one and only true Savior of the world. Allah is not that. And Muhammad may be a prophet, but he's not the prophet of the true God. I think sometimes we have to say that. Jesus is the one who suffered for us, died on the cross, made the perfect sacrifice for us. He's the only one. The good life is believing in Jesus. The good life is trusting and knowing that he sent his Spirit. The good life is knowing that he's watching over us and leading us to that lasting city, that new Jerusalem, heaven. He's doing that. And there is no other. There's no better life than the grace-filled life. We have forgiveness. We have the Lord's Supper. We have peace and joy that comes from Jesus Christ and knowing him. There's no better life. No other formula than this. Thank you, Jesus. As we live the good life, following all the markers, I would like you to memorize a verse from our scripture today. It's really easy, okay? But know this, you're baptized Christians. You have the sign and seal of God upon you. You're on the good path. He loves you. He's not going to let you go. You bring your sins to him, he forgives them. Every good thing in your life comes from him. And so here's the verse I would like you to remember today from this message, if you remember anything. It's in Hebrews 13, and it's a half sentence, 5b. I will never leave you or forsake you. I will never leave you or forsake you. I'd like you to join me in saying it, and it's easy to commit to memory, right? I will never leave you or forsake you, because he's saying it to you today. I will never leave you or forsake you. I will light up the path by my word so that you can follow it in it. And who's pioneered that road? Who has? Who? Jesus has. Okay, on three, we're going to say the verse together. I will never leave you or forsake you. One, two, three. I will never leave you or forsake you. The good life is because Jesus is in it. Amen? Amen. We prize. Yeah, I mean,